All right, folks, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Did you enjoy that extra hour this morning? I woke up at 5:30. Grouchy as I could be. All right, you know, the only problem with this day is, you know, this big old fancy watch you all got me about 10 years ago, now I got to figure out how to set the time on it. This is the most complicated watch I have ever seen in my life. It has instructions, but the instructions are for a different watch. I kid you not. I am dead serious. It's not for this watch. So I give it to Levi, and Levi goes online and figures out how to do it, and he does it for me. So I don't know what's going to happen if Levi ever leaves. I have to go with him, I guess, or I'll just do everything an hour late. All right, let's look, please, at chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read just about 6 verses here, but then I'm going to pull one thought out of one verse, all right, and that's verse 4. So look at verse 1. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. All right, I hear a lot of pages turning. Did I tell y'all the wrong thing? That's where I'm reading from, 1 Timothy. Oh, I did not. Did I really? Well, I am so sorry. I'm sitting here, yeah, I want to throw a red flag somewhere. Did I really say 2? I am so sorry. You know, a mind's a terrible thing to waste. All right, let's try this again. Good morning, everyone. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. How we doing? All right. Oh, my goodness. I did get an extra hour sleep, yeah. And this is the result right here. All right, let's try this again, all right? I exhort, therefore, verse 1, that first of all, supplications, now that's praying for others, all right? Prayers, intercessions, that's praying for yourself, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now you'll notice that's the third all that we have read in these 6 verses. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I want to preach this morning on this subject, And we'll use verse 4 as my place to launch into this. But I'm going to entitle my sermon this morning, The Bid for Your Soul. The Bid for Your Soul. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the beautiful music we have heard this morning. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to be in your house today. And Father, I pray that you will bless in a mighty way and help us this morning as we give our attention now to what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I don't know the spiritual heart condition of every person in this building or those listening online, but Father, I know that you know. So as best as I know how, as I am commissioned in the first and second verse, I want to pray for all who are listening. And Father, I ask you to speak to our hearts this morning. Open our understanding, and may the word of God make a difference in our lives today. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. There are a lot of people today, because I suppose so many people are losing their investments. They're losing their homes, they're losing their vehicles, and there are a lot of folks today who are buying homes and cars and trucks and boats and who knows what else from banks and from loan institutions as the bank repossesses those items and then sells them in a public auction. People will gather in the front yard of a home and will bid with others to purchase the house where someone did not pay the mortgage. And so that home or whatever item is up for sale will usually sell to the highest bidder for literally pennies on the dollar. In the very first church that Karen and I served in, down in the mountains of West Virginia, I was invited by one of the church members to go to what everybody simply called the auction. The auction. I don't know if there were other auctions in town, but that one was the auction. And so I'd never been to one. I'd seen them on television, you know. But I had never actually been to one. And so when we got there, it was freezing cold. I do remember that. And when we got there that evening, they had two great big potbelly stoves going. And if you sat next to that potbelly stove, it wasn't long before you were moving. I can assure you that. It was hot in that building. And when it would get too hot, they'd open the doors, and then, you know, then it was two guys that just seemed to regulate the temperature in that place. And then this guy got up, and they introduced him, and everybody applauded for him, and I found out he was the auctioneer. And they had brought him in from somewhere, but everybody knew who he was, and they were all clapping for him. And so he got up, and when he got rolling, I was blown away. I mean, I was absolutely just blown away. And I told Herman, that was the fellow that took me with him, I told Herman that if I could learn to preach that fast. But everybody seemed to understand him, you know. And I thought, wow, man, if I could learn to preach that fast, I could preach, you know, everything I know in one sermon. I mean, zoom, just fly through that thing. And so Herman said, you better not. But anyway, there was one thing I didn't like about that auction. That fellow was up there talking about 500 miles per hour, and while he was, you know, that was back in the day where my attention span was about as long as a gnat's, and so I was sitting there, and he's up there going to town, and I wasn't even paying attention, but I reached up, scratched my head, and I bought some screwdrivers, And it was kind of embarrassing when the guy said, hold your paddle up, son. But anyway, I learned a valuable lesson. But did you know that there is a spiritual auction going on in the spiritual realm for the most important possession you owe? And that possession that you own is your eternal soul. And there is a battle going on between God and between the devil as to who is going to purchase your soul. Now, I want you to think about that for just for the message this morning. That soul of yours is the most important possession that you own. It is your never dying eternal soul. And that's what's on the auction block. That's what's on the auction block. In the spiritual realm, there is one who is after you, who loves you. That's God. There is another who is after you, and he despises you. And the reason he despises you is because you were made in the image of God. And he hates God. So therefore, he hates you. His goal is to deceive you so that you do not trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Look at verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved? God wants you to be saved. He wants all men. Notice, who will? It is God's will for you to be saved. I've heard folks pray and they said, Lord, if it be your will, save so and so. Don't ever pray that, folks. Don't ever pray a prayer like that. You know why? Because it is God's will for all men to be saved. So don't pray, Lord, if it's your will. Lord, it's your will. So save so and so. That's fine. But don't say if it is, because we already know it is the will of God that all men be saved. Now, we know the Lord wants our soul because of this verse, but then there's another verse in 2 Peter where Peter told us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then there is another who wants your own never-dying soul, and that is the devil, the wicked one, that old serpent, the devil. The devil. And the devil today is so busy walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know that that devil, according to the words of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Jesus said that Satan is a liar. He's a murderer. Has been from the beginning. We know that he is a thief. And he is a deceiver. And you can be assured that Satan is using every weapon he has in his arsenal to get his claws around the throats of unsaved folks so he can drag them off to an eternal hell to spend eternity. That's the devil. Now, if I were to stop right this minute and I were to take one of these microphones up here and I would say, I want somebody to come up here and testify to all these people what the Lord has done for you. Man, I'd get I get so many takers, we'd probably be here till the evening service starts. Yeah, I mean, folks would say, well, I want to tell what Jesus has done for me. I don't blame you. And I don't blame you. I would too. But then if I were to then say, now give me that microphone back, and I took it, and I said, now, who wants to come up here and tell me what the devil has done for you? Different story, isn't it? I mean, why would you want to go to heaven, or why would you not want to go to heaven to be with the Lord and choose to go to hell to be with the devil? Why would you do that? Doesn't make sense, does it? But yet people do. People do. Now, there are two who are bidding for your soul. Now, first of all, show you this. First thing I want you to see here, I want you to notice the object up for bid. The object up for bid. You know, every auctioneer has items for sale. Now, he knows those items. The auctioneer knows the items. He has studied the items. And he knows their value, and he knows their worth. So every auctioneer has items up for sale, and that auctioneer knows what he's selling. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God knows how important your eternal soul is. But make no mistake, the devil knows as well. You see, in the great spiritual auction, the item up for sale is your soul. And the Lord Jesus wants to bring your never-dying soul to heaven to spend all of eternity in heaven with him. But there is another who wants to beat you down and bring your soul to hell forever and ever, with no hope whatsoever. No hope of ever getting the debt paid that you owe God for your sin. You'll spend all of eternity paying off a debt that you'll never get paid off. I mean, that's worse than a 26% credit card. You know? It's absolutely amazing how folks will say, well, I plan to get saved one of these days, because they know they don't want to spend eternity in hell. But isn't it also kind of ironic that someday never comes? I cannot tell you how many times I have stood at a hospital bed or have sat in a home during home care. I cannot tell you how many times that I have stood there and have said, will you now trust the Lord as your Savior? And I've had them look at me and just shake their head. I can't, preacher, I can't. Why can't you? I just can't. You know why they can't? Because they have said no so many times. They don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit any longer. Oh, it grieves my soul. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen that, and I cannot tell you how many times I've walked away, tears in my eyes, knowing that that person just made a decision to spend eternity in hell. Sad, isn't it? But that's how powerful the devil is. He knows his business. And here's the bottom line, folks. You must live somewhere forever. You must. You must live somewhere forever. And you only have one of two options, either in heaven or in hell. Those are your only two options. You say, well, what about what about sitting on the fence on this thing? No, you can't sit on the fence. What about gray area? Is there any gray area here, Pastor? No, there's no gray area. What about an area for the unconcerned? Is there an area for the unconcerned? Nope. Nope. Sorry. It's either heaven or it's hell. And the auction for your soul is an auction for every person's soul. I am so thankful that when I heard the gospel as a 16-year-old heathen and heard the gospel and understood it for the first time in my life, I walked down the aisle and called upon the name of the Lord and got saved. And I'm telling you, folks, if you've done that, you're thankful for your salvation as well. And we ought to be thankful for it. All this stuff about soul sleep, no. No, there is no such thing as soul sleep. Although some souls sleep in church. But I think that's a completely different thing. Guilty as charged. I was in a church down south one time, just went there to go to church, and the preacher had a hymn book that he laid up here. And every now and then he'd pick that hymn book up and slam it down on the pulpit. And the three or four that were snoozing away would wake up real quick. And I asked him after church, I said, "What are you slamming that book on the pulpit for?" He said, "That's to keep them awake. That's to keep them awake." Wow. I just let you sleep. I don't care. I actually had a fellow say to me one time that he was not saved. He said, but I'm not worried about it. And I said, "What do you mean you're not worried about it?" He said, I figure my family's got a lot of money and I'll go to purgatory and they'll pray me out. They'll pay the priest to pray for me." And I just looked at him and I said, "Where's that in the Bible?" "Well, I know it's in there somewhere." I said, "No, it's not. I have read this Bible from generations to revolutions, and I can tell you, it's not in here. Frontwards, backwards, inside and out, not in here." I don't understand what that's all. Well, I do understand what that's all about. And here it is, folks. It is nothing more than a part of Satan's bid for your soul. It's the devil's bid for your soul. You see, if you believe that, you can just live like you want to live. You can just live like you want to live, guilt-free. And what's going to happen is your family is going to be forking out the money so somebody can light a candle for you. Good grief. Again, show me in the Bible. You know, folks, I'm not trying to be a smart-aleck. I'm just trying to get you to see the point. We go by the book. If we don't, we don't have a leg to stand on. If we don't, then my way of salvation is just as valid as Troy's way of salvation. We can just all come up with our own little plan. But there's only two bidding for your soul. You know what one of them did? One of them left heaven and came down here, set aside all of his glory and majesty and splendor, set it all aside to come down here to be born in a stable, in a barn. What do you think about that? You know why he did that? Because he loves you. And when he was 33 and a half years old, something happened. You know what happened? They took him, lied on him. That's the devil. They lied on him. They falsely accused him, even though there were witnesses who said that's not true. All they did was pay people to come in and lie. Does that sound familiar? And what happens? Well, they found him guilty. Guilty of what? He didn't do anything. But then what happened? Here's what happened. They said, crucify him. Pilate had a little bit of sense anyway. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. And Pilate said, why? What evil has he done? And they just wouldn't stop. And so Pilate just finally said, go crucify him. And they went and nailed our Savior after they beat him all through the night to where you couldn't even recognize as they led him through the streets of Jerusalem carrying his own cross. You couldn't even recognize him. And he fell beneath the load of that cross. But they carried it for him and they led him to Calvary. And there on Mount Calvary, they nailed him to the cross. Just like the Bible said they would. What do you think of that? Oh, he could have called 10,000 angels to come and set him free. But he died alone for you and me. That's love. That's love. I only have one son. I got two girls. I got one son. I wouldn't let one of them die for you. There's no way. I mean, I love my kids. And if you were to take some drug addict, some heathen, and drag him in and throw him down and said, Pastor, we want you to get Joshua to die for that. I couldn't do it. And if you're honest, you couldn't do it either. God did. God did. He did it for you. So what was God's bid? God's bid was his own son. What's the devil bid? You know what the devil bids? This world. What's here? What's here? Not much. Not much at all, is it? I mean, your soul is absolutely invaluable. The Lord Jesus said in Mark 8 and verse 36, "And what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" You see, the Lord Jesus says that if a man should have all the wealth in the entire world, now you think about that. All the dollars, all the coins, all the gold, all the silver, all the platinum, all the jewels, all the Bitcoin, all the oil, and all the land, the Lord Jesus says, to me, in my eyes, your eternal soul is more valuable than all of the world's wealth. That's amazing, isn't it? That's how God sees us. Think about the implication of that, folks. Let's say you could gather to yourself all the wealth in the world. You have a calculator in front of you, and you are adding up all of your wealth. And they come and tell you, you have all the coal that's in the ground. All of it, it's yours. And you're going to sell it. How much money are you going to make? Well, that's incalculable, isn't it? So you put down as many zeros as it'll let you put down. And then they come in, they tell you all the oil in the ground, it's yours. It's yours. And it's worth, and then they tell you, and you write, you calculate, you put that in your calculator. And then they come in and they tell you that you have all the minerals in the ground, all the diamonds, all the rubies, all the precious stones that are in the ground. And so you sit there and you just keep punching until you melt the calculator down. I mean, you have got so much wealth that the calculator starts to smoke, and then God would look at you and say, but even all of that is not enough to purchase even one eternal soul. And by the way, folks, if you go over to the book of 2 Peter, you know what you find out? All this earth melts down one of these days. And God has to make a new heaven and a new earth because all this is not worth anything in His eyes. I don't know how you see that, but I got glory bumps on me right now. And in verse 37 of Mark 8, the Lord Jesus said, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now let's ask that question. What would you give in exchange for your soul? I know people who have exchanged their soul for a liquor bottle. I know folks who have exchanged their soul for beer. 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 I know folks who have exchanged their soul for a high from drugs. I know folks who have, instead of living for the Lord, have sold their souls for nothing more than their sinful ways. Now, there's two bidding for your soul, folks. Two bidding. There's the devil. You say, well, why does the devil want me? Well, he wants your soul because you are created by God. He hates God. And you know, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but the devil can read. All right? Now think about that. The devil can read. He knows what it says in the back of the book. I'm sure he thinks about Revelation 20 all the time. Guarantee it. It's on his mind all the time. He might stop and take a breather. I doubt it. But he may stop and take a breather. And then he will say something like, man, I can't stop. I can't quit now. We're running out of time here, boys. Let's crank up the heat a little bit. Let's crank it up a little bit. Because he knows that he has but a short time. Satan goes after us with deceit, with lies, with false promises. That is his only way to operate because that's all he has to offer. Can't offer you anything good. He's rejected all things good. He doesn't show you the final scene of a life of sin. He does not show you the back room and all of its ugliness. He does not show you on these commercials on TV the end result. No, he shows you all of these beautiful people. You ever notice that? They're all perfect. And they're laughing and having a blast, playing volleyball. Why are they always playing volleyball on the beach? They're playing volleyball, and they're just having the time of their life. But that's all the devil will show you of that lifestyle. See, he's not going to show you where all that ends eventually. He's not going to show you the hangover. He's not going to show you the lost job. He's not going to show you the broken marriage, the divorce. He's not going to show you those innocent children who are scarred for life because mommy and daddy can't get along. See, he won't show you that. And with all this sin and hurt and heartache and all the pain that you have to endure because of sinful choices, folks, it all hardens a person's heart, and that influences you and your family. And so no one goes to church. No one goes to Wednesday night Bible study. Nobody comes to Sunday morning. Nobody comes to Sunday night in that family. And when it's all over, the devil's bid was accepted. Sad, isn't it? And the other one bidding for your soul is God Almighty. God looks down at us in verse 4 and verse 6, and God says, man, I want their soul. God says, I'm not willing. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not willing that you perish. I want you to get saved. And I'm telling you, folks, he does. When we were kids, they were developing this place. They were going to put 500 homes in there. I don't know if they ever did. But they were going to put 500 homes in this place where I grew up. And there were all these things, man, I mean, there was just so many things. And my dad would say, no, you can't go there. No, you can't do that. I said, well, Dad, everybody else is doing it. And I got the same line. If everybody else jumped off a bridge, would you do it? If I had a parachute, I would. Then I got in trouble for being smart, Ellie. No. Yeah. And so we would keep on. Of course, I understand now why Dad didn't want, you know, the quarry. Can we go swimming in the quarry? No. Oh, Dad, please. No. Please, Dad. I'll mow the grass for a month. You're going to do that anyway. You couldn't win with the man. And so we didn't know that we were irritating him after, you know, a half an hour of begging. And then finally, Dad would turn around and he had those daggers coming out of his eyes, you know, steam coming out of his ears. And he'd say, boys, here's the bottom line. No. Now, we knew what that meant. That meant, get out. It's about to thunder. So we would leave and just give it up because we knew what was coming. And folks, I'm telling you, God doesn't want to have to send anybody to hell. But here's the bottom line. Two people bidding for your soul, God Almighty and Satan. And if you let Satan have his way with your eternal soul, the bottom line is there is no alternative. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around for just a moment. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure you're saved, I want you to listen carefully to me. There is a God in heaven who loves you. I want you to picture an auction. And I want you to picture, just imagine you're standing there, you, your soul, you're standing there. And while you're standing there, the bids are coming in. The devil comes along and says, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you all this and more. And the auctioneer says, going once, going twice. But then God steps up and God says, wait a minute. I'm giving my son for you. I don't know why anybody would reject that. I really don't. I really don't. My friend, please realize that there's a God that loves you. If you're here and you're not 100% sure you're saved, could I pray for you? Could I pray for you? I won't embarrass you, I promise. Nobody will know who you are, just you, me, and God. But I will pray for you, I promise that. Would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure, but I know I need to be saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it, please? Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that? All right, Father, you know our hearts this morning. And I want to thank you for the way folks listened this morning. Thank you for the gospel and how it's so easy to understand. And Father, I pray, I don't know the spiritual condition of every person, but Lord, you do. And so I pray that you'll use your word to make a difference in somebody's eternity. Help us to accept the Lord Jesus and reject the devil's bid. Father, give us understanding of what we have heard. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.